Welcome along to the deep dive. Look, if you're still thinking about a single Australian property market in what, 2025? Well, it's time for a bit of a reality check.
Yeah, that whole idea, it's pretty much obsolete now.
It really is. And relying on those national averages for your strategy, frankly, it's misleading.
Definitely.
So our mission today is simple. Unpack this state-by-state divergence. Find the real hotspots, the strategic chances that just get lost in the big picture. We're seeing, three big forces at play here. First, those interest rate cuts everyone's talking about, maybe mid to late 2025, according to the big banks.
Right. NAB, Westpac, ANZ are all sort of pointing that way.
Then there's the housing undersupply. It's structural, it's chronic. New
Right.
builds are just way off target.
Yeah, nowhere near enough.
And finally, strong population growth. You see it especially in WA and Queensland, right?
Absolutely. Big numbers.
Our goal, give you that granular city-specific intel, turn you into, well, a proper national property investment strategist.
And it's so crucial why this shift matters now. It's not just knowing the data points.
Yeah.
It's about understanding them, applying that knowledge strategically. This deep dive is really about connecting those dots for you.
Okay, so let's connect dot number one. Where do we start? Has to be Perth, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. The nation's growth engine right now. It's rewriting the script.
The forecasts are wild, plus 8 to 10% for both houses and units in 2025.
Incredible numbers.
Yeah.
And the reasons are pretty clear cut. An extreme, just persistent housing shortage.
How extreme?
Well, think vacancy rates around 0.7%.
Yeah.
Property selling in, what, 16 days on average? Flying off the market.
Wow.
And then pile on that explosive population growth. Perth Metro added nearly 80,000 people in 2023. Think about absorbing that.
And here's the kicker. Perth's median home value actually overtook Melbourne's in May, first time in a decade.
That's a huge signal, isn't it? That affordability window in Perth. It's slamming shut fast.
Okay, so from that Perth pressure cooker, let's head east to Adelaide. A different story, more consistent.
Consistent is a good word. Steady performance. We're seeing forecasts maybe plus 7% to plus 9% for houses and units.
Still very strong.
Very strong. It's built on being the most affordable mainland capital, kind of a safe haven. Indicators are solid, too high auction clearance, super low rental vacancies, around 0.8%.
It's really held its value well, hasn't it? And the impact is real. We're hearing stories, almost anecdotes, of people delaying starting families just to get a foot in the door there.
It shows you how deep it runs. And the numbers confirm it. Median house price is up nearly 75% in 5 years in Greater Adelaide.
Incredible. Developers are even shifting to smaller homes, 2 or 3 beds. And those state grants, like the first home buyer ones in SA, can make a real difference. Tens of thousands saved.
Definitely helps on the margins, yeah.
Right, let's swing up to Brisbane, a strong contender, you said, riding an infrastructure wave.
Big time. Houses, maybe plus 5% to plus 7%, but the units. That's where the action looks set to be. Forecasts heading towards plus 7% to plus 9%.
Outperforming houses, why is that?
It's this massive infrastructure spend. Billions on things like Cross River Rail, the Metro, Queen's Wharf, and obviously gearing up for the 2032 Olympics.
Right, the Olympics effect.
It's transforming the city. But house values already shot up over 50% since the pandemic.
Huh.
Affordability got stretched.
Ah, so people are looking elsewhere.
Exactly. A real flight to value.
Yeah.
Smart buyers are looking hard at units and townhouses now. Better accessibility, often better rental yields too.
Okay, makes sense. Now, Sydney, what's the read there? Sounds more balanced.
Balanced, nuanced, yeah. Moderate growth forecast, maybe plus 4% to plus 6% for both houses and units. It feels like buyers have a bit more breathing room.
How so?
Well, total listings are up, and we're seeing more older listings, properties stuck on the market over 180 days. Days on market are creeping up too. That suggests vendors might be more willing to discount.
But it's not a buyer's market entirely.
No, definitely not. It's
Yeah.
negotiation, not capitulation. The big safety net is that chronic failure to build enough new housing. Approvals are at record lows.
Ah, the supply floor.
Exactly. Plus, when those interest rate cuts eventually hit, likely later in 2025, sideline buyers will come back. Good properties, A-grade stuff, still competitive. But B and C grade, there's room to negotiate there.
Got it. Finally, Melbourne, you call this the market of strategic opportunity, but the forecasts look tricky.
They do, on the surface. Houses maybe plus 3% to plus 5%, but units face headwinds. Some forecasts even suggest small falls, maybe negative 2% to 0% for units. We are seeing some softness, a few more distressed listings perhaps.
So where's the opportunity?
Well, SQM's Louis Christopher calls it a good window for buyers before an expected bounce. For clients who are financially secure, this current softness could be quite possibly the nation's best strategic buying opportunity right now.
Okay, explain that, especially with negative unit forecasts.
Right, here's the crucial bit. That negative forecast, it's largely driven by legacy oversupply. Think specific high-rise CBD towers built years ago. But look forward, the future supply pipeline. It's facing a historic collapse. Apartment completions in 2025 are projected to be the lowest since 2008. The long-term picture is actually severe undersupply.
So the current dip is masking a future shortage?
Precisely. So the strategic play, avoid the problem stock, those small investor-grade CBD units, and target the opportunity stock.
Which is?
Well-located, larger places that appeal to owner-occupiers, townhouses, good quality boutique apartments. That's where the smart money might look.
Okay, pulling this all together then, the big takeaway seems crystal clear. Divergence is everything. Your best move in Perth is totally different from Sydney or Melbourne.
Fundamentally different.
So picture this, a client in Sydney. Their place has seen okay growth, 4-6%. They have equity. A local-only view might just mean a refinance.
Standard stuff.
But a national strategist view. You could show them how to use that Sydney equity to invest in Perth, chasing that potential 8-10% growth.
Driven by those extreme shortages we talked about.
Or maybe Brisbane units looking at 7-9% growth, powered by that infrastructure boom. It's about understanding those specific city mechanics.
It transforms the conversation, doesn't it?
Yeah.
From just facilitating a loan to actually mapping out a national wealth strategy.
Exactly. Unlocking completely new pathways. So thinking about all this fragmentation, all these different stories, what stands out to you? How might these shifts reshape your own long-term financial goals, or even perhaps where you might see yourself living down the track? Something to think about.